The Atlanta Braves finally got back into the win column on more than one occasion this weekend, but there's still a lot of drama in Atlanta. Let's talk about it. Yes, welcome into another episode of the First Pitch Podcast, your daily source of baseball talk. And if you're watching on YouTube, hit that subscribe button, turn on the notification icon so you can be notified when another episode just like this goes live. If you're listening on audio, leave us a 5-star rating, share the show with your friends, send them to firstpitchpodcast.com so they can get their daily source of baseball talk. And check out the First Pitch newsletter. Today's issue has not gone out yet. It will a little bit late, but the link for the newsletter is in the description. It is free to subscribe to said newsletter and receive it in your email inbox every day, Monday through Friday. Though we do appreciate any and all paid subscribers as they help keep the bills on around here. We're going to talk about the games that went on yesterday. We're going to talk about the Atlanta Braves and the drama that's going on in Hotlanta. We're going to talk about former Major League Baseball players and how they're just dumb now. And we're going to talk about the recent epidemic of players being carted off the field despite not having an injury that necessitates being carted off the field. Not Luis Arraez. His was neck and head related. I want to make that clear before everybody clicks off the video. But we're going to get to all that. It's a packed show today, and we're going to look ahead to today's ball games. But first, we're going to ask my co-host, Drew Crabtree. You can follow him on Twitter at DrewCrabtree12. How you doing today, bud?
I'm doing all right. Oddly enough, the Orioles gave me a call this weekend to pitch in last night's game, but you know, I'm in Toledo. I don't know if I was going to be able to make that flight. But even then, I managed to log 3 hits off of 7 at-bats, 4 RBIs, and I scored twice. So it was a good day. It was a good day.
Yeah, I'm sure that at any point in that game yesterday, they would have waited. They would have delayed the game for somebody, anybody, to get there and pitch. But I'm your host, Troy Brock. You can follow me on Twitter at Troy B Baseball and see me argue with former baseball players. You know, it's a good time over there. It's a good time, but I shut them down pretty quick once they start getting unruly. But we are going to look at yesterday's ball games, and we did have one game in particular get unruly, and that was the first one on the docket, Cincinnati Reds at the Baltimore Orioles. Cincinnati Reds took that one by a slim margin of 24-2. Drew, go off, bro.
This is what I expect out of the Cincinnati Reds this year. No, not really. I expect them to win, but no. Leading up into this game, like I told you off air, Charlie Morton is bad. The Orioles used up their entire bullpen on Saturday. I was like, if the Reds don't pull this one out, I'm going to be really concerned. Then they scored in the first. L.A. De La Cruz did a ridiculous diving play across the middle and then led off the top of the third with a solo home run, and I knew that it was going to be a good day. If the Reds score 24 runs a game, I don't see too many avenues in which that they lose too many games this year. So if they can keep up this pace, I think the Reds will be all right.
Yeah, for sure. If you can score 24 runs a game, you got a pretty good chance of winning. And I think that might be something we need to talk about tomorrow, is the Reds may be a kind of a boom or bust offense this season, because we've seen it 3 times now this year. They've scored double-digit runs in 3 separate games, and then there have been numerous other games where they've scored 1 or fewer runs. So this may be something we could talk about tomorrow on Cincinnati Reds Day. But there were other games yesterday, and the next one was the Guardians at the Pirates. Guardians beat the Pirates 5-4. They are now 12-9, and the Pirates are 8-15. And real quick, to go back to the Reds and Orioles, Reds are now at 500, 11-11. Orioles are 9-12. Twins at the Braves. Excuse me. Grant Holmes got the win in that one, and the Braves won that one 6-2. They got the sweep. This is the first series the Braves have won this year. I'm sorry. They did win the series against the Phillies, but it's the first series that they have swept this year. They are now 8-13, and the Twins are 7-15. White Sox at the Red Sox. The White Sox just have the Red Sox number this year, even if they will beat no other team in baseball. And the White Sox won again 8-4. White Sox moved to 5-16. Red Sox fall to 12-11. Side note, I've been watching the Red Sox documentary thing on Netflix, and I know I'm very, very late to the ball game, but that thing is fantastic. Have you seen it?
I have not. You know, having a toddler, she kind of controls the television right now.
That's true. That's true. Makes sense. Yeah, it's fantastic. So if you do have time to watch it, I highly recommend it. I'm only like 3 episodes in, but it is fantastic. Marlins at the Phillies. Phillies could not complete the sweep in Philadelphia, and they lost that one in 10 innings. Jesus did rise on Easter Sunday, and he had a fantastic showing coming out of the grave there. But it was a good showing by him, not a great showing by the bullpen. And a lot of people were complaining on Twitter about Rob Thompson going to Orion Kirkering when he did. I'm not going to blame Rob Thompson for that. Orion Kirkering is one of the two relievers that you can generally rely on in the Phillies bullpen. And so yesterday was not on Rob Thompson. Yesterday, Orion Kirkering just didn't have it. And the Marlins won 7-5. Phillies are now 13-9. Marlins are 9-12. Mariners at the Blue Jays. Mariners take that one 8-3. Both teams are now 12-10. Royals at the Tigers. Another extra inning ball game on Easter Sunday. A lot of free baseball on Easter Sunday. Royals win that one 4-3. They are now 9-14. Tigers fall to 13-9. Carlos Estevez still has an ERA sub 1. Cardinals at the Mets. Mets completed the sweep there in Queens, hosting the Cardinals. They won 7-4. They are now 15-7. The Cardinals are 9-13. I was going to save this until we talked about it a little bit later when we talked about today's games, because the Phillies and the Mets do play today, and this is going to be the first series that the Mets play against a legitimate World Series contender. And just for context, the combined record of the New York Mets opponents to this point, not including the Phillies because they have not played them yet, is 57-73.
Is that good?
It's not. It's not. Their opponents have been weak, very, very weak. So hold your horses there, New York Mets fans. You ain't got nothing to be excited about yet. Yankees at the Rays. Yankees are up 4-0. Or Yankees win 4-0, sorry, and they are now 14-8, while the Rays fall to 9-13. Max Fried had a no-hitter in that game. It was retroactively ended 2 innings after it was continued because of, again, errors being stupid and subjective, not objective, when the play in question was objectively an error. But, you know, home field official scorers, they like to help their boys out whenever they can. And so in the 6th inning, the Tampa Bay Rays were rewarded a hit 2 innings later. It wouldn't have mattered anyway. It would not have been a no-hitter anyway. But Fried had a fantastic outing. He is now 4-0 with a 1.42 ERA. Braves should have splurged a little bit and brought their boy back, just like they should have a couple years ago with Freddie Freeman. Athletics at the Brewers. Brewers win that one 14-1. They are now 12-10, and the Athletics fall to 10-12. D-backs at the Cubs. D-backs win that one 3-2. Diamondbacks are now 13-9. This one also went to extras, went to 11, and the Cubs are now 14-10. Dodgers at the Rangers. Series of the weekend, and boy, did it live up to it. Dodgers win that one 1-0. And the Dodgers are now 16-7, and the Rangers are 13-9. How great was this series all weekend, Drew?
So good. The pitching is obnoxious. And, you know, you texted me this weekend. It's like, we need to just talk about these guys at least once a week. Dodgers are good. They're, you know, oddly enough, when you spend a lot of money and go out and get the best players, you tend to be good at winning baseball games. You know, Phil Castellini, hey, please, can you like listen for once? for real. It lived up to the billing, and then I hope that the Mets Phillies series to start off this week lives up to that billing as well.
Yeah, it's Jacob DeGrom was back in Jacob DeGrom form in his outing this weekend, and yeah, I did tell you I think it was Saturday that today we were going to talk about kind of the Roki Sasaki and Yoshinobu Yamamoto, how the Dodgers are using them as they were used in NPV is Friday Saturday guys. That's it. We now might need to talk about that on Wednesday, assuming nothing else comes up, as something else did come up this weekend, more pressing with the Atlanta Braves drama. Giants at the Angels. Angels win that one 5-4. They are now 11-10. Giants fall to 14-8. Padres at the Astros. This was Sunday Night Baseball. Padres won 3-2 to move to 16-6. Astros fall to 10-11. Nationals at the Rockies. They played two yesterday, so we had 16 ball games on Easter Sunday. And I just looked at the second one and who got the loss in the second one. Nationals won that one 3-2. They are now 9-12. They won the first one 3-2. And the Rockies fall to 3-17 in the first one. The second one, the Rockies won, 3-1. Nationals fall to 9-13. Rockies move to 4-17. And the loser in game two, his last name is Lord. So we had Jesus pitch for the Phillies. We had Lord pitch for the Nationals. Yeah, final thoughts on Easter Sunday's ball games there, Drew.
Don't forget that the Angels scored four in the bottom of the ninth to win that game.
Yeah,
on Easter Sunday. Wow. So there's a whole lot of divinity, we'll say, going on in Major League Baseball right now.
Yeah, it's crazy how that all worked out on Easter Sunday. And it was a crazy weekend just across the board as a whole, but I think that it was craziest probably for none other than our old friend Lindsey Crosby's Atlanta Braves, because not only should they be looking at things positively now after they get a sweep and get back in the win column multiple occasions in a row, and I'm pretty sure this sweep was the first time that they have won consecutive ball games this year, but they are now 6-4 over their last 10. But then again, their superstar player is unhappy. Because on Saturday, in Saturday's ball game, Jared Kelenic hit a fly ball to the outfield, and he thought it was going to be a home run. And so he was just lightly jogging to first, as people do when they think they are hitting home runs. Turns out it hit the wall, and it was should have been a double, and he got thrown out at second base because he was not hustling out of the box. Brian Snitker did not sit Jared Kelenic after this happened. Jared Kelenic continued to play. And Ronald Acuña Jr. was not happy with that. And I do have a tweet to put on the screen here for those of you watching on YouTube from our good friend Lindsey Crosby and Braves Today. Lindsey says, after Jared Kelenic failed to hustle out of the box on a ball off the wall and was thrown out at second base on Saturday, Ronald Acuña Jr., who has been benched for that same thing before, weighs in with his thoughts. Do you agree with Ronald that Kelenic should be benched? And of course, there's a picture here of Jared Kelenic and Ronald Acuña's tweet, which has now been deleted, by the way. I looked for the normal tweet at first and was going to screen grab it. But Ronald Acuña Jr. tweeted, if it were me, they would take me out of the game. And to Ronald Acuña Jr.'s credit, he's right. If it were him, they would have taken him out of the game. After the ball game on Saturday, Snitker was asked, did you say anything to Kelenic about what happened? And Snitker responded, and I quote, was I supposed to? So just not great. And then, yesterday postgame, there was another press conference with Brian Snitker, and he was asked about Ronald Acuña Jr.'s tweet. And I am going to actually play this video. I'm going to share my screen here for those of you, again, watching on YouTube. You're going to be able to see this. Here's my screen. I'm going to put this full screen, and we're going to listen to Brian Snitker from that press conference.
I don't do social media, number one. I heard about it as I was walking the
dungeon. I lied because I'm dumb. I don't know how technology works. We can't do that because it doesn't work. You can't hear the thing. So we're not going to do that. But essentially what Snitker said was that he did not see the play at the time that it happened from Jerry Kelenic. And that when he did see the play the next day, he spoke with Kelenic about it. But Kelenic was still in the starting lineup on Sunday, was the gist of that video. So there are a couple of things in my opinion here. And Drew, I'm of course going to get your thoughts on this here in just a moment. But managers, it's true that managers can't see everything that happens on a field. They have a lot that they have to take care of. You know, I don't know what the exact situation was, but he could have been talking to the pitcher because, it was the offensive inning. The pitcher's in the dugout. He could have been talking to the pitcher, you know, or preparing. I don't know what inning it was or any of that. He could have been preparing, trying to figure out who's going to pitch the next inning. Pitcher's down in the clubhouse resting or trying to stay warm. He's down there talking to him. Anything could have happened. That's fine. But at the same time, how does someone else in the dugout not tell you? There's no way he doesn't know about it in the game. There's no way, because there's 18 million devices in each dugout that you watch replays on. Everybody watches their at-bats on devices. There's no way he didn't know about it. So before I delve any deeper into it with my opinion on this matter, what's going on in Atlanta, Drew?
I think despite the sweep, that they are incredibly restless with how this season is going. Obviously, with Ronald Acuña Jr. being hurt and working his way back, they didn't expect this poor of a start. Now, obviously, they swept. You know, this was during the second game of the series, so there's no way that they knew that they were going to sweep them. I think that they're tired right now of just losing and being where they are in the standings. Ronald Acuña, he's got a point. He definitely would have been benched. And I do think that Kalanick should have been taken off the field on Saturday and or had to come off the bench on Sunday. Because while I am perfectly fine with batters hot-dogging, bat flipping, celebrating when they hit a home run, if that ball hits off the wall, you better be scurrying to first base, to second base, wherever it is. Because you go from looking like a real hero to a dork. That was not the word I was about to say. But I get it in terms of, Kalanick, he thought he got one. You didn't. You got to run it out. Getting thrown out at second to just put the cherry on top is just you just can't do that. And yes, I believe you. There's no reason that Snitker did not know. They have how many monitors in the how many eyeballs on the game, just in general, plus coaches, plus everything else. Somebody had to have mentioned, hey man, Kalanick just bounced one off the wall and was hot dogging it around the base and got thrown out, stretching it into a double when he thought he had a home run. This whole situation is really dumb. But Acuña's right. Like there's definitely a completely different criteria of what's right and wrong between Jared Kalanick and Ronald Acuña Jr.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, as someone who follows the Phillies as closely as I do, and before I got into the business of writing about sports, I was a Phillies fan. There's no denying that. I still don't have a problem with the Atlanta Braves. And I know I'm one of the few that will or can say that. But I have in the past had my issues with Ronald Acuña Jr. and his lack of hustle. And specifically go back to the NLDS between the Atlanta Braves and the Philadelphia Phillies in 2022, I believe, when JT Realmuto hit an inside the park home run on a ball that caromed off the wall in center field, and Ronald Acuña Jr. was nowhere to be found backing up the play. And if he would have been backing up the play, JT Realmuto would have been held to a double. So this is not we should be giving Ronald Acuña Jr. no flack. This is if we're going to give Ronald Acuña Jr. flack when he deserves it, regardless of how much of a superstar he is and how great of a player he is, Jared Kalanick deserves as much flack because he is not a superstar. He is not a great player, and he never has been in his Major League Baseball career. For his career, he has an 85 OPS plus. He has been 15% worse than league average offensively for his career since debuting in 2021. This year alone, he has a 60 OPS plus. I don't care if that ball is hit 650 feet. If you have an OPS plus below 100, you better be freaking booking it out of the box, my friend, because there is no doubter when your OPS plus is below 100. That doesn't exist. They're all wall scrapers. Again, I don't care if it's hit 650 feet. He could hit one to my house in Daphne, Alabama from Atlanta. He better still be booking it out of the box because it's still a wall scraper when your OPS plus is below 100. So I 100% agree, and we have seen it, that Ronald Acuña Jr. has been benched for the exact same thing, whereas Jared Kelenic stayed in the game and was in the lineup the next day. And so it all boils down to, a lot of it boils down to, there are two teams in the National League East who are both legitimate World Series contenders, and both of them are in need of a new manager. Because it's just things like that, things like we see from Rob Thompson generally on a day-to-day basis. It's just, it's, and there's so many more instances from Brian Snitker to where Braves fans have called for a new manager. And I have been somebody that has defended Brian Snitker in the past, but this year it's kind of getting to the point where there's really no defense for Brian Snitker anymore and no reason for him to remain as the Atlanta Braves manager.
I would understand more if the roles were reversed, because Ronald Acuña Jr. is a superstar in Major League Baseball. And if he had a longer leash, versus Jared Kelenic getting yanked, it would make more sense. But if Acuña is the one that gets benched for doing this and Kelenic has no repercussions, even if after the game he went up to Snitker and apologized or something like that, it wasn't like Snitker called him into the office or anything like that. Kelenic is the one that went to him. And even if that's the case, you still got to say, all right, man, I appreciate you recognizing this. I appreciate you letting me know. We're going to have to sit you down for Sunday's game, because we just can't have that. The margin for error in Atlanta is razor thin right now because of how poorly they got out of the gate, and they can't afford those brain dead Toot Bland outs on the base paths when they're trying to dig their way out of probably the second hardest division in baseball. No, Ronald Acuña, he's right. And there's a two-tiered justice system when it comes to these sort of things. It's something that's bugged me about the Reds, where, you know, obviously recently Jake Fraley has picked it up, but out there in right field, it looked like he was just jogging the balls and turning singles into doubles and doubles into triples, et cetera. So, you know, the managers, obviously they walk a fine line when it comes to punishing their players and then their stars, of course. But, you know, Snitker's got a, you know, it's Jared Kelenic. Like, it's not like this is Max Olson or any of their other guys that are superstars or all-stars. Like you said, it's Jared Kelenic. You can afford to put him on the bench and throw one of your bench guys out there for at least the first two-thirds of the game. I don't get it.
Yeah, it just it doesn't make sense. And it's there's a lot of drama going on in Atlanta right now, and it's not great. And I think it's all going to culminate with, if it hasn't started already, Ronald Acuña Jr. wanting out of Atlanta. Like, because A, he's a superstar, and let's be honest, Atlanta is a big market. It's not New York. It's not Los Angeles. It's not Texas, for that matter. And so it's not going to surprise me if that was already the case beforehand. And this has just exacerbated the issue.
Yeah, future Dodger, Ronald Acuna Jr.
They could use the help. They could use the help. Yeah, but, you know, there are other former players in Major League Baseball who could use help in a different kind of way, and that's mental help. Because there are a lot of former Major League Baseball players who, now that they are former Major League Baseball players, they look at things the wrong way. A lot of them have the mentality of, you never played, you don't know what you're talking about. And it's just outright stupid. Like, there's no other way to put it. It's just stupid to have that mentality. Because you don't have to play the game to understand the game. And that goes for all sports. If you can understand the game without understanding, oh, he held his hands at 48 degrees and then he swung the bat at 30 degrees and his feet were 28 inches apart, you don't have to know all that garbage. That's dumb. Like, if you understand the stats and you understand what's going on the field, you can have a good understanding of it. And to be completely honest, more often than not, you can have a better understanding of it than the people that are actually playing the game, because they're just there to hit the ball and run. And that's not to take away from what they do. Baseball's a great game. It's hard. It's the hardest sport on the planet. The hardest thing in the world is to hit a fastball in any sport. The hardest thing is to hit a fastball. But people on the outside looking in, more often than not, understand things better than current and former Major League Baseball players do. And a good example of that is a conversation that I had this weekend with a former baseball player. I know that some of our crowd is a little bit older, so y'all might have heard of this dude. I never heard of him. It took Drew digging into Baseball Reference finding him for this, but apparently his name is Jeff Fry, a former Major League Baseball player, and not a good one at that, but he's been popping up on my timeline a lot lately, just complaining about the hitting coach that worked with Aaron Judge, because apparently that hitting coach has a loud mouth and talks a bunch of crap and all this other stuff. And it's a lot of nonsense. But he quote tweeted somebody, and the tweet that he quoted said, offending 23-year-old kids with the term batting average, you know, the percentage of time the hitter actually gets a hit, has to be one of my favorite things to do on this stupid app. And he quote tweeted it, and he said, I couldn't agree more. They don't even oppose batting average on the scoreboard in college baseball anymore. For those of you that are new to this show, I don't like batting average. I don't know if I've made that clear for those of you who are not new to this show, but batting average is antiquated, and it's nowhere near as important as people thought it was 40 years ago when we didn't have analytics and other statistics that we followed, like on-base percentage and slugging percentage, or OPS, which combines on-base percentage or slugging percentage. And so I responded to Jeff Fry, very cordial. I said, good, they shouldn't anywhere. He quote tweeted me, you know, for his huge following. He does have a decent following, 11,000 people. He quote tweeted me and he said, what should they post, Troy, with a shrugging emoji? To which I responded, again, remaining cordial, even though he had an attitude in his response. I said, OBP/slug/OPS, as most do. And he quote tweeted that and said, most fantasy league guys, most gamblers, most video game junkies are all the above, Troy, with another shrugging emoji, again, having an attitude. And I remained cordial, not as cordial as the first tweet, because, you know, his attitude was starting to bug me. And I said, most scoreboards, what the initial reply was about. To which some random person that nobody's ever heard of responded with my profile picture and said, your lifetime chicks scoreboard, 0. I was going to ignore that. I was not going to get into that. There's no point in that. Again, trying to remain cordial. That is until Jeff Fry replied to that person's tweet and said, -1. So with that, I quote tweeted his minus one after, of course, help from our good friend Drew Crabtree, who sent me his baseball reference page, not knowing this is what the outcome was going to be, of course. But I replied with, close, Jeff Fry's career OPS plus is 100 minus 9. He was 9% worse than league average for his career, despite his precious 290 batting average, because it was an empty 290 paired with a weak on-base percentage and slug. Batting average has been antiquated almost as long as he's been out of the league. He continued to be active on Twitter. He never responded after that. So call that what you will. Open and shut case. Shut him up pretty nicely, if I do say so myself. But this is just part of this whole former player mindset of, you never played, you don't know what you're talking about, I know better than you do. And we've seen that with a numerous amount of players. Eric Hosmer, who was pretty popular, he wasn't the best first baseman, but he was pretty popular. He's fallen into this category ever since he retired. And there are just multiple players who have this just ignorant mindset of, you didn't do it, you don't know. And we have seen in the past, Barry freaking Bonds has been a hitting coach for Major League Baseball teams, and those teams don't hit. Why is that? Because just because you're good at something doesn't mean you know how to explain it, which means doesn't mean you know you understand it more than someone else does. So where are you on this, Drew? I think I'm going to step off my soapbox here and let you talk for a minute while I choke.
Yeah, no, it's I'm right there with you. I'm really tired of bench and role playing guys in their career talking as if they are superstars. This guy played over 100 games 3 times, and one of them was because he got traded or cut in the middle. I honestly don't care enough to look or scroll down. I don't know. He's got some kind of like hitting clinic. It is what it is. But the idea, like, I get it. You know, making it to Major League Baseball is an incredible honor, and it's not one that people should take lightly, even if that person sucks. Because everyone can name, you can rattle off 10 people over the last 10 years on your own favorite team of players that probably should not have made it to the major league level. You know, I've got probably a few hands worth of, you know, 4A players that probably shouldn't have made it to the major league baseball level. I understand from their perspective, the snooty, you know, you don't know because you didn't play thing. But at the same time, while yes, that is your full-time job, nerds online obsess over these things, over football, over basketball, over baseball. These people obsess over all this, taking all this data, and that's how we get these narratives, etc. You see it with NFL all the time. People freaking out about like Mina Kimes being, you know, talking football and everything like that. And I like Mina Kimes. I will disagree with her a lot, especially when it comes to my Bengals, because nobody outside of Cincinnati watches the Bengals or understands them, but that's its own soapbox. But I get where they're coming from, but they are obviously way wrong. It's super disappointing. Like, obviously this guy no one's ever heard of, but like, you're talking about, you know, Eric Hosmer. You know, Trevor Bauer is a troll online, and he still believes that he deserves a spot in a rotation despite the fact that he hasn't played Major League Baseball in years and he's not good anymore. I get it. You want a Cy Young, you want a Mickey Mouse Cy Young in a 60 game season. Like, I get it. You know, it's the Reds. It was awesome. You were awesome that year. Sorry. But come on now. You know, Eric Hosmer, Zach Cozart's a bit of a troll online now. It's super disappointing seeing these guys that you look up to, or people that just come out of the woodwork, like what you experienced, and just, you know, don't know what they're talking about. Great. You played in Major League Baseball. A lot of people played in Major League Baseball, and a lot of people probably shouldn't have. I'm forward in the fact that I sucked at baseball. I love baseball. I was god awful at it. It took me until my junior year of starting all 4 years to get a hit. And my senior year, all my hits were bunts. I was bad. I was a lot better as a center fielder. But I still understand baseball, at least to the level that batting average does not tell the whole story. I personally love on-base percentage because I love Joey Votto, but on-base percentage and slugging tell a much better picture than batting average and clinging to it because you bat 290 in 8 years across 667 games in 8 years, which is not great. You know, everyone needs something to be happy about. And if being a mid baseball player and a troll online brings you joy, go with God, my friend. I'm gonna look towards the future. And this whole saga has been just the dumbest thing.
Yeah, it's insane. And you still have people like even the person that replied with my profile picture and judging me on my appearance alone and only talking about that and not adding anything of substance to the conversation. He even quote tweeted my tweet about Jeff Fry being a mid baseball player. And he said, he's deleted it now because I shut him up with my reply to that. But he said something along the line. He showed a picture of a shirt from The Sopranos of, there are people that think they're so far ahead that they're really about to be lapped or something about that. And he was like, oh, this is the perfect shirt for batting average deniers. And I quote tweeted him and I was like, yes, because 98% of the people who follow baseball are the ones who are behind, not the 2% of people who are stuck in the 1970s and only care about batting average and nothing else. Yes, we are the ones that are behind. Again, Brad Pitt said it best in my favorite movie, Adapt or Die. And it's adapt or die. I mean, either get with the times or stop watching baseball. If you don't like it, don't watch. I mean, that's all there is to it. No, it's not really a hard concept. And it's just beyond me how this boils down to, it's 2025. Stats and analytics are freely and readily available for any and everyone. Why people refuse to use them or ignore their existence on purpose, intentionally ignore their existence, is just beyond me. I don't get it. I will never understand it. And I'm sure you're the same way at this, Drew. When I like something as much as baseball, and I'm not going to say that. When I like something as much as baseball, I want to learn as much about it as possible. I want to know every single thing that I can about it as possible. I will go to to as many sources as possible that I can get my hands on to learn more about it. It's the same way with me in finances. When I turned 30, something in my head snapped and I was like, I got to get my finances in check. They're still not, for the record, but I'm working on it. And I'm learning more and more every day about finances, about the stock market, about everything that goes in hand with all of that. Because I am going out there proactively and getting my hand on more and more sources of information so that I can learn. And I don't get it. We were going to talk about the players thing, but we don't have much time left. We'll get to that on another day. Just know that I think it's dumb that players are more and more getting carted off the field for injuries that don't require being carted off the field. Again, not Luis Arias. His was a head and neck injury. That's a little bit different, although he is apparently fine now and he walked back into the clubhouse after the game last night. But still, shoulder injuries, it's a shoulder injury. You can walk. You can be carried, helped off the field. That's different than stopping the game to bring a card out there. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. We don't have a long slate of games today there, Drusif, because it's Monday and a lot of teams are off on Monday. But we do have 8 games, and we have day baseball on a Monday, and I don't know if this was because of a postponement or if this is one of those weird series that wraps around the weekend and ends on Monday, but 11:10 a.m. Eastern, which means 10-10 my time, there is a ball game. White Sox at Red Sox. I will not be watching. White Sox are 5-16, look to move to 6-16, and the Red Sox look to move to 13-11. Walker Buehler on the mound for the Bo Sox there. 6:10 p.m. Eastern. Yankees at the Guardians. Clark Schmidt at Gavin Williams. Yankees look to move to 15-8. Guardians look to move to 13-9. 30 minutes later, Padres at the Tigers. Padres look to increase their lead over the rest of baseball and move to 17-6, while the Tigers look to move to 14-9. I think they still have the lead. Am I wrong in that? The Padres not have the lead anymore?
I think they've still got the best. Keep talking. I'll double check.
Okay. We'll come back to that one since you're looking at something else because of my dumbness. 7:10 p.m. Eastern, Phillies at the Mets. Probably the series of the week. I'm a little bit biased, but could potentially be the series of the week. There are other good series here in this midweek, but I think this is the best because, again, we're finally going to see what the Mets are capable of when they're facing a legitimate World Series contender and not the bottom of the barrel opponents that they have been facing to this point so far. Again, for those of you who are joining late in the premiere, the Mets opponents' combined record this year is 57-73 to this point, not including the Phillies. Padres, did you find it?
Padres have the best record in baseball by half a game.
Half a game. So yeah, they look to build on that. And I'm guessing the Dodgers are in second.
Yes. And then the Mets third.
Yeah, so the Dodgers do not play today. So if the Padres win, they'll advance that. And we'll go back to 6:40 p.m. and talk about the Reds at the Marlins. It's Nick Lodolo day, but it is a good pitching matchup because Max Mayer is also on the mound for the Miami Fish. Drew, how do you feel about that game tonight?
I need Nick Lodolo to have that first-time dad strength, and it's time to see what he's got because Tyler Stevenson came off the paternity list and started raking. Nick Lodolo doesn't need that much of a kick to get going, but no, I'm very interested. I love Nick Lodolo. I love what he brings to the Reds. I hope that he has a really good start, freshly back from being a brand new dad. Congrats, Nick.
Yes, congratulations, Nick Lodolo. Get that dad shrink working along with your superstar player there, Austin Hayes. 7:15 p.m. Eastern, Cardinals at the Braves. Eric Fetty at Spencer Schwellenbach. Schwelly looking to have a bounce back start from his rough outing last time. Cardinals look to move to 10-13. Braves look to move to 9-13. 8:10 p.m. Eastern, Blue Jays at the Astros. Kevin Gausman and Hunter Brown. Blue Jays look to move to 13-10. Astros look to move back to 500 at 11-11. And then finally at 9:45 p.m. Eastern, so most of these games are pretty spread out today, but Brewers at the Gigantes. Brewers look to move to 13-10. Giants look to move to 15-8. Quinn Priester at Robbie Ray. And that is the full slate of games for your Monday. Any thoughts on the games today, Drusif?
I was going to say something, and you said Gigantes, and it completely derailed my thought process. The Brewers, Giants, and the Blue Jays, Astros series are going to be interesting to me. I mean, honestly, all these series look like they're going to be good outside of the Phillies, Mets, because that's obviously going to be a heavyweight battle unless the Mets decide that playing baseball against good teams isn't what they want to do. Those last three games, Cardinals, Braves as well. Looking to that series because like Cardinals aren't trying to win baseball games, but the Braves are. And are they going to continue on their hot streak? Is Ronald Acuna going to tweet again? Who knows? Like, it's crazy. We love baseball around here.
Yes, we do. We do love baseball around here. And I'm working on my Spanish, Drusif. Got my Duolingo app, been working on Spanish every day. And Gigantes, that's all I got so far. But yeah, we do love baseball around here. It's always a great day when there is baseball, and it's always a great day when you join us here on the First Pitch Podcast. So thank you for joining us today. If you're watching on YouTube, hit that subscribe button, turn on the notification icon so you can be notified when another episode just like this goes live. If you're listening on audio, leave us a 5-star rating, share the show with your friends, send them to firstpitchpodcast.com so they can get their daily source of baseball talk. Check out the First Pitch newsletter. It is free to subscribe to that bad boy and receive it in your email inbox every single weekday, but we do appreciate any and all paid subscribers as they help keep the bills on around here. For Drew Crabtree, I'm Troy Brock. This has been the First Pitch Podcast. Until next time, see you manana.